We're back with the Danger Room's 24 Days of Christmas. This year, we're doing one episode per affiliation, each with its own special guest. We made an effort this year to bring in some guests from all over the world. Sit back, listen, and Merry Christmas. Hello, and welcome back to another Christmas edition episode of the Danger Room. This time with me, I have Steve Wilson. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, but today, why is this day unlike any other? It's the Hanukkah day. It's the Hanukkah cast.
Yeah, Steve Wilson was raised in a Jewish upbringing, and that's why his episode's coming out on Hanukkah.
Just a kid from Brooklyn.
It's true. Okay, for anyone who doesn't recognize that voice, that is actually Matthew, aka Shadow Marvel. He joined our recording room under Steve Wilson. I thought it was hilarious and needed to share with the listeners.
And just so anybody knows, if you ever see me on TTS and I'm playing, that's also the room name and password of all my games.
Nice. All right. So I asked Matthew to come on and talk about...
We're going
to
be talking about Captain America, the First Avenger.
Yeah, I feel like in the past we've done... Last year we did the episodes with the leaders. We did one for Steve 1 and one for Sam. Sam's been talked about to death. Spoiler alert, Sam is still very good, but...
Spoiler alert, Sam is still going to be talked about in this cast.
Yeah, exactly. But it is more exciting to talk about Captain America First Avenger, a.k.a. Thrive, or Steve Thrive.
Yes. I call him Mighty Steve.
Or Mighty Steve. He has a lot of names. There's a lot of Steves. All right, Matthew. So what is in... What's in your list?
That's a very tough question. I want to preface before I say anything else that this is a list, but this is by no means the list, because Steve, I feel, is in an exploration mode at this moment, like finding out what is the best things or what really works with Mighty Steve is, I still think, is up in the air. What is competitive? The meta is like really a little bit toxic for him, but right now, in terms of what 10 characters I'm currently working with, is the Steve Rogers and then the Sam Wilson, hence Steve Wilson. They're in there. And then you have Luke Cage, Three Threat Iron Man, Deadpool, Spider-Woman, Gwenpool, Toad, X-23, and Spider-Man, Miles Morales.
Okay, so I'm not surprised to see Sam here. Sam is, he's just one of the best three threats in the game.
He's fantastic. And he's fantastic under this leadership.
Yeah, you could just pay one to hit the ricochet, no problem. It pays for itself.
It's often pay one to hit ricochet and push opponent. Would you pay one power to push an opponent short and then also get another attack?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I would.
I guess maybe I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but let's talk about Steve. How are you finding Steve? In my games with Steve, I haven't played any games with Steve, but I played against him. His leadership is good. It just feels slow out of the gate. And he feels like a dice machine. He's just trying to Yahtzee bounces to stay relevant. If he does rolls bad, he's struggling. All right. Am I right or wrong?
So you're definitely right. I actually took a bunch of fastidious notes about this because I always want to prepare myself and know what I'm talking about. And I half take the notes just so I can have them in my brain. But one of the things about this leadership, which I always see is a conversation between Mighty Steve versus Discount Steve, is the fact that he is slow out of the gate. This is not a leadership that you come in and say, I'm going to do all this fancy, ridiculous round one stuff, because that's just not how this affiliation runs. And it's definitely not how Steve runs. Like Steve's general round one activation is a move, maybe throw a shield. That's it. Move to a point, maybe throw a shield. That's it. That's what he does. It's not flashy. In fact, to be quite honest, out of all the characters on his roster, he will be the least flashiest character. The thing that you want from Steve is essentially to be a character who just throws his shield and then you see what happens and then you work from that. Sometimes I almost look at him as like a pass character, a four threat pass character. He's going to do something, but I'd want my other characters to do stuff later. So his activation isn't really going to do much that I can reliably count on. So I'm going to go with him so that I can let my other characters, like my pushes from my Iron Man or my Spider-Woman steals or whatever, let that happen later. And he can just go and maybe he dazes somebody. I don't know. Who knows? He just rolls dice. Steve is a slot machine.
Yeah, he feels a lot like Emma that way in the Hellfire List, where he's the least exciting part of your team, but he is the leadership.
He literally has the worst shield throw out of all the shield throws, all of the game.
It's really just a shield throw in name, right? It doesn't have ricochet, at least not as we know it. It has a balanced version of ricochet.
Yeah, it has the worst version of ricochet. It has got the worst range. It's got the worst version of it. Yeah, everything is... That doesn't deny cover, doesn't really do anything except for just be a five dice attack that may do another five dice attack into another character. But he has a charge, which is one of the best superpowers in the game.
Yes, charge is amazing. And he has a range three attack, which is nothing to sneeze at. He can often make two attack actions per turn. It's not that crazy, especially if you want to burn a symbol at some point.
As long as I've found, as long as you have two power on Steve, when he activates, you are going to get a minimum of two attacks on his activation. That, assuming you do not get a shield bounce or a bounce off of the bounce trigger, you will get two attacks, because a medium move coupled with a range three attack, and that range three attack could either be his regular attack or his spender, which is a very good spender. Your threat radius is very large, and you will likely hit something unless somebody is focusing so much to put him out of position.
Right. Yeah, I mean, his builder is similar to Cyclops. It is just strictly worse than Cyclops, but charge can give him a longer threat range than hit and run if he's not in range already, which is cool. Also, his add defense dice is one of the best add defense dice in the game. It works on mystic attacks.
And it couples exceptionally well with his injured side, where he also counts mystic attacks. Yeah, counts blanks against mystic attacks. So he, as long as you're not throwing things into him, he's very hard to take down on his injured side.
Yeah, whereas original Steve Rogers there is not able to add dice against mystic attacks.
Just counts blanks.
His spender is okay. It's like Bill's God Hunter. It's a little worse. You can only move size 3. And the Yahtzee trigger, the odds are eh, I think.
I think more or less they're kind of different, because Bill's moves bigger than size 3, but also Bill's trigger is incredibly hard to hit unless you're under a certain leadership. And all you need for Steve to do his push is just one critical result. So it's the big Yahtzee trigger is for him to do it again into somebody else. So he's got that, the same thing he does with his builder, but he does it with his spender.
Yeah, I guess if he wanted to add a power and make this, essentially if this spender costs 5, the frontliner trigger is just hit wild or hit shield, which is a lot less bad. But yeah, his attacks are fine. He doesn't have a lot of impact if his dice are bad, is really just the gist of it.
Yeah. He's, like we said at the beginning, he's the most boring part of the list, which is usually the case for Steve.
So we'll rewind back to where we were with Sam. Like I said, Sam's one of the best three threats in the game. I've joked with Sooner about this. He is the ultimate garbage man. And by that, I mean, he just does all of just the grunt work in the game. Like, he just gets where you need him to go and scores points.
And I would say that under Mighty Steve's leadership, this is one of the best places for Sam in the entire game. I think one of the biggest problems I've had, and I've played a lot of Sam, and I've played Sam in other affiliations, one of his biggest problems is he's not very reliable or consistent. If you're not relying on his attacks or his pushes, then he still does the things, like you said, like he garbage man, he scoops things up, he prevents threats, he does all this other stuff. But for the most part, it is not uncommon that your Sam activation is a charge throw. That didn't work. Move back to the point. And with Steve, he brings that consistency that makes him be able to just say, hey, that target, I'm going to move you. And I'm going to gain more power because since he's a gainer, he spends that power, but he gets that power right back. And then he gains another power because he gets another attack. So it ends up being a pretty much a net positive for him.
He doesn't lose any power, because if you trigger the ricochet off the leadership, he just gets the power back, which is pretty sweet. Moving on, we have Luke Cage. I was really excited for Luke Cage when I saw Steve's leadership. Obviously, Luke Cage's double wild stagger becomes wild hit.
Surprisingly, ever since I started playing with him, he just keeps rolling natural double staggers. So double wild staggers. Only once in all the games I played with him did I actually spend for the leadership to get the stagger.
Wow.
But it was crucial when I did it. It took a Colossus down.
But yeah, not surprised to see Luke here. He's been an Avenger staple and just a staple splash character in the game for a long time now.
I think he's also critical in the list, more so than not. A lot of times people are like, is he overused? But I think he's critical because one thing that this Avengers list does not have is it doesn't have a Steve Rogers that has a bodyguard. So your defensive tech is less than other Avengers rosters. So he's very much necessary to be somebody who can throw a wrench in target priority.
Yeah, Heroes for Hire is extremely clutch. I often just think if Colossus had Heroes for Hire, he would never leave my roster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel like Heroes for Hire is really just it's the crux of why Luke is so good.
But the reason why you also take him is not just because of Heroes for Hire, because you could also take Iron Fist. Also because he has the two dangers to ignore.
Yes. Yeah, Heroes for Hire essentially allows two dangers to ignore to just have this massive threat range.
Correct.
And also just Luke doesn't pay for the card. It's different than Comrade's Keeper, Lethal Protector that way, where Venom or Red Guardian are on one power. They're just never playing that card if you don't interact with
them. Yeah, except Red Guardian. Red Guardian is very easily gains power.
He does, but you can still catch him on one power sometimes. But with Luke, if you're attacking somebody else, you're giving them power and thus turning on Heroes for Hire. So
it's hard to double tap.
Correct. Next up, we have Iron Man from the original core box. I think Iron Man's really great. I've played him in Avengers and S.H.I.E.L.D. and I've also been messing around with him in X-Men. Wouldn't be surprised to see him show up in more places because of Stark Armory.
Yeah, I have Stark Armory in there because I think it's the best of the Iron Man cards that I have available, but I haven't really been presented with scenarios. I was talking about this earlier today that I just end up on like D maps and B maps when I bring Iron Man. Or actually, I don't really usually bring him in D maps, but usually it's B maps, and Stark Armory kind of loses a bit of its luster. When I'm trying to decide my tactics cards, what I'm going to bring, I'm like, I'm going to bring Stark Armory so I can add two or three extra dice total in a round. It's not necessarily worth it. But he himself is just an incredibly efficient piece. He adds additional control, which I think is important. Also, his control is, again, incredibly reliable because a lot of times when I played him before, I would be like, do I spend the two power to Friday AI? But I don't really want to spend the two power because I want to save it for something else or whatever I need to do. It just helps with that math when I'm just like, I only need to spend one power because I'll just roll four dice, get a hit, and then spend a power so I can do the push.
Yeah, exactly. Iron Man also, he doesn't spend power that well. He really only spends it to boost his attack dice. And if you can get a spike with Iron Man, then he's good to go for the rest of the game. And he can probably easily spend for Steve's leadership just to push damage.
Oh, yeah. But he can't spend it because I had one game where he got dazed sitting on a boatload of power. I spent the power for the Friday AI. I spent the power for the Unibeam. I shot a Unibeam right through my bill so I could daze him so that I can get all the conditions that were on him and flip him over so he'd be at full health the next round. And then I also dazed a Pyro and dazed a Voodoo. And then eventually Iron Man died because that's usually what happens once he's on his flip side.
That's pretty sick, actually.
So I was very happy with that result. It was a game-winning move.
Oh, man, that's super cool. Yeah, clever use of beam-friendly fire is something that doesn't get talked about a ton, but
It's something you should really think about when you have those beam characters. I know people are talking about a lot more with Ultron, the new Ultron, and beaming grunts, but sometimes when you look at your character and your character's just full of conditions and they have one health left and you also don't really like going into a new round with one health on your character because then they might get days before they activate or you're forced to activate them earlier than you want to. So sometimes just using a beam to just daze that character so you knock off those conditions and get them fully top off their health could be very valuable for future rounds.
All right, next up we got Deadpool. Deadpool, Deaton played Avengers at WTC and he could not speak highly enough of Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool's math works out really well with Steve's leadership. That's part of the one of the things. One of the reasons he's in there is he's got a sort of a scenario and an anti-scenario play to him because he has his Merc with the Mouth.
Yeah, it's like the odds of old Bucky getting rapid fire.
I'm a sucker for when I used to play Shadowlands Daredevil, which I did last year. And I'm really a sucker for being able to engage with the objectives, but also be able to attack round one. And Deadpool is exceptional at that because he can move up, do a bang attack. You're going to get that power back. So you can use the leadership to trigger the bang. So that will put you back to having the power you need to do whatever else you want to do. He's an again, very efficient, and his math works really well. And he's just a great piece, and he steals power from people.
Yeah, Merc with the Mouth is a really great superpower. Like, Bill is just farting around on a point, and he's waiting to go last, and he's on three power. Just mouth him. He's a sad boy.
Just make fun of his horse face.
Yeah, Deadpool's really good. I know Dean has really liked him a lot.
He's been an exceptional standout in the games I've played with him since the character changes.
Yes. Deadpool's also annoyingly tough to actually remove from the table, especially if you bring exceptional. Like, he goes up to 6 health, healing factor 2 with the defense reroll and exceptional, and then he always just counts healthy.
Yeah, especially because I couple X-23 into this list, so exceptional is a no-brainer, and I've definitely been on the receiving end of facing a Deadpool that once I flip them, I'm like, well, I'm never gonna actually kill this character because they have exceptional and 6 health and healing factor 2. It's never gonna happen. He's full of power. It's never happening.
Yeah, Deadpool's a little bit uncommon for the healing factor characters in that he doesn't have any bad defenses. I guess Sabretooth also doesn't, but the Wolverines and X-23 and Honey Badger have bad defenses that you can pick on to put a lot of damage through exceptional, but Deadpool's like def 3 or 4 with the reroll.
Yeah, he's basically 4, 4, 5, and that's pretty, it's pretty good. And he can't be moved.
Yeah, he's got helmet, so no web lines.
Yeah, he's very good for anti-web warriors, which is becoming popular.
And then we've got Spider-Woman. Spider-Woman's really great. Her biggest issue is her wilds rolling, her ability to roll wilds consistently. Steve 3 fixes that.
Yeah, and she's somebody who people who have spoken to me know I have an exceptional love for Jessica Drew, and I think her character is exciting, and she does so much for me all the time. She's won me so many games. She's allows me to play a lot of bold plays that I wouldn't normally do because she's so tanky and she forces so many puzzles. And just the nice little tech with her that I found, which I didn't include in this list because this list that I sent you, but because this list is still in the works. But playing Kick Them When They're Down is really well because most of the games I play with her or with this list, characters very easily can get up to 2 to 3 conditions at any given time.
Yeah, Spider-Woman is for each wild roll. She's not like Hawkeye where he's just one.
Correct, yes. I've definitely had a game where I just rolled 2 wilds and I spent the power and just dumped poison, shock, and stun on somebody before they received damage.
Yeah, really cool. Interrogate's also randomly clutch. She's your only, no, Sam's a long mover, but she's your second long mover. I love Spider-Woman.
She's, but there's a lot of movement tech in my list. So my list is particularly move worthy. I mean, Luke, Iron Man, and that's it, is the only, it's the only people who don't have some additional move maneuverability tech. The next slowest person is X-23.
She's just a double medium mover, but she can make attacks in the sequence. But everyone else here has teleports.
And she also has, she has the frenzy too as well.
You've got Gwenpool. I think Gwenpool is really slept on in MCP. I'm not sure why people, I don't really know how to describe Gwenpool, but she is just a giant brick of stats and she's randomly good at hunting web warriors, which I think a lot of lists could like.
I don't understand why people don't play this character more often. I just don't understand. If you just look at her card, like I understand why people may not care about the character and therefore they don't play her. But if you just look at her card, she is a character who has a pierce on her builder. She hands out conditions with a gainer. She has an incredible spender. She teleports, although this is like the bad version of the teleport where you can't hold an objective token, but she teleports. She's got rerolls on her attack and defense dice, and she has damage reduction. So she has a teleport, she has a damage reduction, she's got a pierce builder and a gainer, and a good spender. And she's got 4-3-4 defenses and 6-6 health stamina. And she's got a crazy good tactics card.
Yeah, I've played against her in A-Force, and she was just really frustrating. You just could not do anything to her. Every attack was just like, all right, I take one. And then if she's like even close to getting threatened, it's okay, I'll bodyguard this.
All right. It's three characters in this roster that have damage reduction to a minimum of one.
Yeah, Gwenpool's really good. And a lot of people who are frustrated with Web Warrior should try playing some Gwenpool.
She's, again, also one of my... She's actually pretty good all around. Like, she's really good into Web Warriors, and she's also incredibly good even into Kaiju.
Yeah, they can't reliably kill her.
They can't reliably kill her, but she can reliably incinerate them and shock or shock them. And they don't like either of those conditions.
Right. When you play against the big murder balls, they are pretty nervous going into models that they can't remove. Because if they don't kill you and power you up, it's pretty bad for them. Next up, we have Toad. Toad's just the premier scenario scoring two threat. Not surprised to see him here.
Yeah, it was a tough choice between him and Black Widow. But I felt like I was fine on my affiliated characters that I didn't need a affiliated two. And I don't, at least in this version, I don't really have any kind of like midline grabs. So Toad is that version of a midline grab because he's still particularly hard to kill when he's grabbing from far away. And he just is annoying. And also, conveniently enough, can push pretty reliably on his builder. So that's also helpful.
Yeah, Toad doesn't spend power very well when he's... If Toad gets flipped something, usually has a bunch of power, and he has hop, but not a whole lot else to spend his power on. And being able to use it to convert it into displacement seems pretty useful.
Yeah, most of the things that you would spend it on is things like slippery, and you're probably doing that based off the damage you're taking when you get attacked, so you don't necessarily need to worry about when you're going to have the power to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Also, yeah, I can see why you don't really need an affiliated two threat. Everyone in this list is an Avenger except for Miles and him. And
X-23.
Or an X-23. And you don't have anybody above four threat here. So
correct.
If you had like Hulk or something, then I could see bringing having Widow.
Yeah, I tried Thor a while ago and he's really good, but I ended up dropping out of my list and Cable was the same way for me.
Yeah, Thor is another one I was excited for with Steve 3. Just guaranteeing the throw. I say guarantee, but there's times where Thor literally rolls no successes. You can't even use a leadership.
Yes, it happens. It definitely still happens, guys. Still happens.
Yeah, Thor, I don't know. He's fine. He's okay. Maybe fine's the wrong word. He's okay.
Yeah, he's okay. He's definitely better. And if you like him, this is a great place for him. But it's like kind of the same place I ended up with Wolverine, where these characters that are... So incredibly dice reliant, investing too much in them is just not, it's just a pathway to frustration for me, is essentially what it is. So I get frustrated one game and then I drop them.
I feel that. And then we have X-23 here. So speaking of Wolverine.
Speaking of which, speaking of carrot, but the difference is she's a three threat. So the investment is significantly lessened compared to a four or five threat.
X-23, her builder is better than Wolverine's. If he hasn't charged, if he's just making naked builder, hers is just better and she's cheaper.
Who's better? Yeah. Got a reroll.
Yep. Yeah. Having that reroll is very useful, and having the added mobility on the spender, it's cheaper as well.
And she also goes in with that theory that I have been talking about before, where she can move up. She can, no matter the cost, to do her claw rush. But since she's no matter the costing, one of the things that was a little awkward before is, do I need to spend the whole power? I'm probably not going to daze the person I'm attacking. So what's the purpose? Is that just so I have the power there so I can do a claw rush next turn? But this time, with this leadership, what you're essentially saying is that when you place her across from an objective, you're saying, okay, I have a 6 die attack with 1 reroll and a pierce, a wild pierce trigger, and I have a power to spend to turn one of my results into whatever I want.
Yeah, X-23 also spends, she doesn't spend a ton of power. 6 power is like the max she could spend, if I recall correctly. So if you're more than that.
That is as much as she can. Usually my X-23s are pretty much on top dot by the end of the game.
Yeah, exactly. So she should have no issues spending for this leadership. It just converts into more damage.
And she's great for anti-scenario, which is one of the things I'm most worried about with Avengers, is dealing with things like the scenario teams, and she's really good for dealing with scenario pieces because she make them dead.
Yeah, that's the one weakness of Avengers usually is they're like an anti-attrition team in a lot of ways. And you play against the Web Warriors or a Control-E Hellfire list, they just throw your models around and ignore you, which is rough. And then lastly, we have Miles Morales. He's got that sweet throw trigger on the builder.
Sweet throw trigger, a second steel target in my list, teleport, tanky, stealth. It's pretty good.
Yep. All good things. We've been seeing a lot of Miles love after the Black Cat nerf. It's pretty cool to see. People have been talking about a long time about why isn't Miles splash more? It seems like the answer was Black Cat was just too good.
She might still be too good, but but she doesn't do as much for this particular leadership. But Miles does. Miles is there mostly as a tech piece again for either if I'm going into a sort of a kaiju type situation where I don't think I'm not reliably going to be able to kill them. So Miles is there that he can rip a extract off of them, or again, an anti-scenario piece because I bring my own. A good way to counter a Web Warrior team with Miles Morales sitting around waiting to steal someone is having a Miles Morales of your own waiting to steal something.
It's very true. That was my Hellfire plan into Web Warriors. It's like, all right, you're going to steal my stuff? I'll just play the same models that steal things. Sweet. So that's your 10, but this leadership is tons of potential. I've played against you in our Flavortown leagues. You've played Hawkeye and Bill into me. They're not in this list, so let's start with Hawkeye. I thought he was pretty cool when we played against each other.
Hawkeye, I think, is not in this list, but he's in basically every other version of my Avengers lists. He's exceptional. Every game I've played with him, he's done exceptional things. He's good into Web Warriors. He's really good, actually, because a lot of Web Warriors players play like Amazing Spider-Man, and Amazing Spider-Man doesn't like being auto-slowed. Even though they have Aunt May Wheat Cakes, a lot of times when they see Avengers, they don't bring Aunt May's Wheat Cakes because they don't expect to be slowed, and then they move, and then they get slowed, and they get very sad. And also, he's very good at playing ranges, because for one game I played, I assembled him up so that he was able to shoot ASM, but now he was outside of range 3, so ASM wasn't able to reroll his stuff, and he killed ASM, and then used the power he got in order to hook Arrow into range 3 of a Black Widow, but not within range 2, so that he can then one-shot that Black Widow because he can change his energy. He can change his attack type to energy. So he's very easy, very good. He's got that mini Cosmic Ghost Rider thing where he can be where he wants to be in order to make the attacks at the most ideal range. And then coupling on the fact that he gets better dice consistency and the ability to toss some really annoying conditions like slow and shock makes him really exceptional in this affiliation.
I love Hawkeye so much. He's super fun. I feel like he could have used a slight quality of life adjustment on his defense values. He can probably exist in this game as like 3-3-3 or even 4-3-3 or whatever, 4-2-3, something like that.
Yeah, I could see him like a 4-3-2. 4-2-2 is a very difficult thing. Like I do also only bring him in scenarios where I don't think he's going to get attacked, because when he does, he dies.
Yeah, his stat line is basically Honey Badger. It's not great. And there's a lot of models that can close the gap very quickly, that it makes him a liability if you can't protect him in any way through like Bodyguard or Eyes on the Sky or something.
Yeah, there's no characters that throw out long distance energy attacks, right? Yeah.
He gets to shoot first, at least.
That's true. He can't shoot first, and it works well with the leadership because you can use that, get extra procs on that leadership so that you can shock them before they even attack him, which is pretty nice. It doesn't come up too often. Playing against a good player, they usually just place themselves at range 3.
I know there have been people who have played... We talked a bit about Wolverine. What about Gamora? Have you played any Gamora here?
I haven't played it. It's in one of my lists that I'm still working to test. I like the idea about it, but I'm not sure it's enough. It's incredibly powerful that you have an attack that is more or less a throw because the floor of it is 3 damage. So the minimum you're doing is just a throw a size 2 thing at somebody, which is very powerful. But part of it doesn't fit with my specific playstyle because she doesn't have the ability to do too much in the first round. And I do worry that she spends the first round not really doing anything. Even though she's fast, she's got range 2 and she doesn't have any real ability to do her pounce. So she's just like setting herself up so that she can move and then move round 2 and then make an attack. If you have priority, you can like double move so that you can start your priority by killing something, but then you're killing something. So you're probably giving up priority by doing it. I guess it's just, there's a lot in there that I have to get a little more experience with Gamora, but I feel like there's a lot of high offense characters you could be putting in. It doesn't have to be her.
I can't help but think that how crazy it would be if you could play Mighty Steve with Discount Steve together and you could just like versatile strategy, but start with original Steve and then versatile to the new Steve. So you could just do crazy things like charge turn 1 and then switch leaderships and start getting crazy attacks.
I have so many dreams. Come on, multiverse mode. We have timelines. Let's make a multiverse lines. Let's do it. Come on, AMG.
That would be sick. Holy crap. Is there any other characters? I mentioned Bill slightly. This is the 24 days of Billmas for anyone who doesn't know. So
you just listen to any other podcast from the last 24. Like it's all the same stuff. Bill does what Bill does. He's good. I think he is, as your eyes target, if you need to bring one, I think that he does better than Hela because he synergizes with the leadership better. He's got triggers. He's got the shock. He's got the stun on his attack. So he wants to use those. But sometimes he gets a little power awkward. So the leadership can also kind of mess with his power economy. A lot of times when I played him with Sam, he would just get 2-3 power. Part of the reason why people love him in Hellfire is because he can get to that 3 power automatically. But if no one attacks him, he gets a little awkward in trying to get the power he needs. So I've played him a lot in this affiliation, and sometimes I wonder if he was the optimal choice when I brought him. Even though I know he is exceptional as a character, I also wondered, could I have gotten more out of a different 4 threat for this particular team?
That's fair. Is there any characters that you think I missed that would be worth talking about here?
I do think Medusa is someone that does deserve some note. She seems like she's got a little bit of a non-bow because she works off of flurry. So characters that get multiple attacks feels good under this leadership. But having her be able to get those triggers are very powerful for a reason before she was nerfed like 2 years ago. And Steve almost makes her back to it. She's a character who gains power exceptionally well. And so she has very easy use of the leadership. She's almost guaranteeing herself to get a flurry. So when she activates, she's got 3 attacks with some pushes probably in there. And then she's able to royal decree people. She is a very powerful piece under Steve. She almost feels like pre-nerf Medusa. And that was a very broken thing.
It's true. Medusa was the terror of the meta a long time ago. Great. So next up, we have tactics cards. You want to read through them?
Yeah, these are my tactics cards, but take them with a grain of salt.
I mean, they all look pretty good to me.
They're all good. Some of them are probably auto-includes, but you can't go too wrong. There's so many great tactics cards in this game. But I got Avengers Assemble, Brace for Impact, Heroes for Hire, Mark for Death, Mission Objective, No Matter the Cost, Sacrifice, Stark Armory, Exceptional Healing, and they say keep your enemies close.
So we could rewind to Avengers Assemble. I don't know if there's much to say about Avengers Assemble. It's just an auto staple in every Avengers list.
One of the best affiliated tactic card in the game. You can take it into almost, I don't think there's a single crisis setup that you'd not like, oh, I will never use this card. Even if this card is just pay 1 power to give 1 character a short move, that isn't very powerful. That is climbing gear.
Yeah, if you're playing Avengers, you're playing 4 cards in Avengers Assemble. It's just the fact. Next up, we have Brace. Pretty standard.
Yeah, my characters don't like things being thrown into them, especially the leader.
You also don't really have any terrain throws, so you are victim to your opponent bringing a lot of terrain throws, and you're not able to remove them before them. So
correct.
And then the other restricted card is Sacrifice. I like Sacrifice a lot with Avengers. You have a lot of tanky models. You can spread the damage around. not being able to mod your dice is less bad when you have damage reduction.
And again, like I said before, with Luke, when we talked about Luke Cage, you want to layer in as much defensive tech. It's especially for me personally, I like making puzzles for my opponent. And one of the best puzzles is Sacrifice. And it's also good against scenario teams who try to do things like Miles Morales grabs.
And then we have Mission Objective. This is a pretty common card these days to deal with Rhino and sometimes Voodoo now that he's been nerfed. I assume that's why this is here.
Rhino, Voodoo also works against Miles Morales, Spider-Woman. That's also just good in general. Sometimes I even just use it just to hand off. I've used it before to hand off a objective before my character dies.
Yeah, if you're somebody who's frustrated with steel effects, then I would play this card. Doesn't work on Black Cat, but everything else it does. And then we have Mark for Death. This is probably anti-Web Warriors stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty anti-Web Warriors. I don't have an exceptional amount of range 4 stuff, but Steve is range 4, Iron Man's range 4, Deadpool's range 4, Gwenpool is range 4. So...
Wait, Steve is range 4?
Sorry, not Steve. Sam. Sorry.
Sam.
Sam is range 4. Sam is range 4.
Yeah, it's really Sam, Gwen, Iron Man, and Deadpool, right?
But it also is just helpful for saying, hey, you don't get to reroll.
Yeah, and they become slow movers, right? So...
Yeah. Also good.
You can do things like try to kill a model and then the other model you expect is going to try to run away. You can mark for death. It can't move anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we have no matter the cost. Makes sense with two Venom Blast models and X-23.
That's exactly what you use it for. You could potentially throw it in if you want to be cute on something else, but that's essentially the most common use case.
Yep, it's pretty good. And then we have exceptional healing, which with Deadpool and X-23.
Having two characters on the board, exceptional healing out there, really forces people to try to make bad choices or just ignore my characters that are trying to kill you.
Yeah, if anybody's playing a healing factor character, it's hard to not bring this card. I think the only person or model I don't see it with all the time is Lizard, but all the mutants basically have this stapled to them.
It's a great card.
Yes. And then we have Stark Armory. I think Stark Armory is insane, and... it's not an every map card, I don't think. I've brought it on map B, like an Infinity Formula, and it felt like I didn't get a ton of value out of it, but my God, is it silly on map B.
All right, so here is the big point. So when we're at this stage, especially with Avengers, you have an Iron Man in there almost every time, and you have three very good Tony Stark cards. You have Stark Armory, Helios Laser Bombardment, and Ricochet Blast, which are... all exceptional cards under here. Definitely can't devote 3 in your 10 to him. And you probably shouldn't even devote 2 because when you're playing him, you're probably only bringing 1. And you could hedge between them. So here's my thoughts to understand my reasoning for why it's Stark Armory, which I don't always play, even though it is a crazy card. 1, this team does not gain power exceptionally well, so that's why I don't have Helios Laser Bombardment, because my Helios Laser Bombardments are very tiny. And then I don't do Ricochet Blast because it doesn't always work out well with the timing of Iron Man and Sam Wilson to make it work. It's just like a kind of a finicky card to make it play. So I went with Stark Armory because it was like the default card that could work when the scenario presents itself and I'll bring it. But more often than not, when I play Iron Man, I end up not bringing any because this affiliation does not like its Tony Stark tactics cards that much. The argument I could see is somebody's bringing Helios Laser Bombardment for when they want to flex into a Sam-led affiliation.
Yeah, you do have like most of the Sam shell here with Sam, Deadpool, Luke, Iron Man.
Yeah, it's not that much different. Sam, Deadpool, Luke, Iron Man, Toad, Spider-Woman, the new Voodoo. So like, it's all pretty Sam there for me.
Pretty much. So I'll push back a little bit with Stark Armory. If you think about it this way, Bitter Rivals is a card that's banned, and it is a card that subtracts your opponent's defense by 1. And this card was banned, and it was restricted before it was banned. So Stark Armory gives all your models plus 1 attack die, which is mathematically better than reducing your opponent's defense by 1.
At a greater range, potentially.
Yes, you could make it even farther if you want. The only counterplay is to displace Iron Man or KO him. And even if he's displaced, you're not stopping his allies from just getting back into range.
It's an exceptional card, which is why it is the one I chose out of the three. I think when I play him, I don't end up playing him in scenarios that it benefits. So far, he's come up a lot in Bs. And it hasn't really... When you're making the choice at the five, when you're trying to decide a five, there's definitely times when I play the game and I'm like, oh, I really wish I had Stark Armory here so I could just add extra three dice to my round. But when you're making... You don't know that decision when you're making that choice of five cards. And there are exceptional tactics cards that you're choosing between. So when you're on a B or a D... doesn't really work. But if you're on an E, it's pretty much an auto include at that point. If you're playing Gamma.
Yeah. My hot take is that I think one of the Iron Mans, like either this Iron Man or Invincible Iron Man plus Stark Armory, is an equal to or greater map E plan than Crimson Dynamo.
Yeah. Which maybe that's why I don't have Crimson Dynamo. Maybe this Iron Man becomes Invincible Iron Man. I'm still testing it. There's still a lot of exploration to be made with this team.
Yes. I do think the rerolls are incredibly valuable, but it's the threat trade-off. So I think there's definitely a lot of wiggle room on how people want to build their rosters, but one of the Iron Mans is very good in my experience. And then the last card we have is Gwenpool's card. They say keep your enemies close. This is the card where if you're next to them, they roll no defense. If they're not, you teleport them next to you.
It's pretty crazy with a character with a range 4 attack. It's crazy in all regards. She can either get really close and do a huge attack into someone who's rolling no defense, and you have your pierce doesn't matter. That's the Nambo, where you're not using it because she's got a pierce, but the pierce doesn't matter if you're not rolling any defense. So you're really just rolling a 5-dice attack that you can use the leadership to, in order to get an additional result, and they don't roll any defense, which could be great if you're trying to kill off a character who's got 2 health left, 2 or 3 health left. But other than that, the real power is that she has a range 4 attack and she can just super deception somebody.
Yeah, exactly. It goes farther than deception. If you teleport them behind you.
That's why it's super. And it doesn't matter if somebody's next to them.
Yeah, it's a very strong card.
It's essentially Scorpion's Get Over Here.
Yeah. Yeah. Attaching a card that gives a model that displacement that otherwise wouldn't have it is very strong. Just look at Juggernaut.
Yes, I agree.
Any cards that you think are in your 11th, 12th slot that we didn't talk about?
Yeah, Fallback is a good one that I'd like to have in there because it's a card that pairs well with Mission Objective. These characters also have abilities to get back into their spots. We talked about Kick 'Em While They're Down, even though it's not in this 10 right now. Might make its way back into it. If you end up bringing Bill into your list, obviously, Eyes on the Prize. You need Eyes on the Prize for that. I do think that there's some... play if you end up playing a Black Widow version of this with vertical assistance. It's a pretty great card. It's a much more restricted version of Climbing Gear, but Climbing Gear was an insane card.
It's better to think of it as tactical analysis.
Right. Yeah. And so it's a very cheap tactical analysis. So it's great. And finally, the last one that I really like, probably my 11th card on this one would be Bird of Prey.
Of course. Sooner's favorite card.
Sooner and I had a huge love back when everyone was playing Sam. He first came out, and Sooner and I were both huge love fans of Sam Spam, and we both could not talk more about Bird of Prey. Bird of Prey is a card that, regardless of whatever the meta is, it is going to be an exceptional card because so it might make it back into my roster because it's all the best characters fly. It's sure, Bill flies. Star-Lord's not the best character, but he's the leader of the best affiliation. So having the threat radius of a charge and then throw 7 dice, reroll all, makes their leader very skittish. Magneto flies. Voodoo flies. He's not the best character anymore, but he was. No matter what, these characters fly, and he punishes those characters. So that card is...
I remember back in the olden days when Sam came out and everyone was playing Enchantress because she was beyond broken. I asked Sooner about it. I was like, how's Bird of Prey? Have you ever... This is my delete Enchantress card.
Yeah, exactly. For me, it was delete Voodoo, but yeah, the same thing.
It became Voodoo shortly after her.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and then we've got your secures. We could start with Gamma. I will admit I'm surprised to see Gamma here, for as how usually Gamma's the dominated kaiju land of Hulk and Thanos and all these shenanigans. But I don't know. Why is Gamma here?
Gamma's here because I have ways to murder very well. And while my team can move well, I mean, Gamma's here because if I win priority against a scenario team, I like playing.
Yeah, you want to box them in.
into a scenario team. I want to box them in. A lot of my secures, Gamma, Mutant Madmen, and Intrusions, are built around the concept of the scenario teams and trying to make it so that they definitely don't want my secures. So there's no edging on that front. It does present some risk, but I do have a pretty good Gamma plan. You got your Iron Man, you have your Stark Armories, you have your very defensive tech characters, you have your Luke Cage, Gwenpool. These characters aren't so easy to kill. So the hope, the copium, as it were, is that they would be able to get the volume of attacks with the consistency of dice in order to take down any kaijus they see. I will say, one of the worrisome parts of this list, especially in the current format, is that Avengers tend to be a team that is sort of the jack of all trades, like master of none. Like, they rarely are the team that you're like, oh, they are the best scenario team. They are the best kill team. They aren't the best of any, but they can hang with anybody. So in the current format, they are a little difficult, because when the format gets so polarized in that things are so hyper aggro or they are hyper scenario, they can falter a bit. So you just gotta roll with it. And that's why Gamma's in here.
That makes sense. Yeah, there's a lot of scenario teams that don't want to see that. So if you think you can survive against the big dogs, then makes sense. Iron Man being able to shoot people into the Gamma waste is quite good.
Yeah, I think that, and Sam Wilson as well, pushing people into the Gammas. Toad has the ability to push people much easier with the leadership. Miles can throw people into it. So there's stuff there. But essentially, if I win Prio against a Web Warrior or even a Hellfire team, I'm presenting a squad that they're presenting secures that they are less happy to see.
Exactly. And then for extracts, you've got all the neutral extracts, it looks like.
Yep. Paranoia is very fast scoring.
It's fast, but by neutral, I mean they're like parity without Prio specifically.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Skrulls with Avengers usually. They have, I got between Spider-Woman, Captain America, and Toad, you have ways of grabbing your own Skrull and getting back to safety without any problems. It's like a pseudo midline grab. And I also like Skrulls pushing people in so that my characters that have better attack dice can attack those characters. And Paranoia is also good. Characters go to the middle. Characters take a damage. Characters get eaten up by X-23. Big fan of that.
Yeah, I love Skrulls. It's probably one of my favorite. It definitely is my favorite extract to play. It's just such a feel-good extract. It's neutral. It's relatively, you're not overextending yourself, but you can if you want to. It's high threat, so you never feel like you're choked on things. Everyone feels like they can play it fairly. It's one of my favorites.
I agree. I think it is my favorite extract of all of them. I agree.
And we mentioned Paranoia. Also fairly neutral, but it does go quick. If you misassess how fast the game is going, you can have a real bad time.
Yeah, I've definitely won a lot of games by people not realizing how fast Paranoia is. I've won a game where I played Spider Foes in 2 rounds.
Yeah.
it was actually a Paranoia and Intrusions game, and I won it in 2 rounds. So do the math on that one.
Yeah, I mean, if you have all the Paranoias, then you just need 3 and 3 off the secures in 2 rounds.
That's what I did. But also Paranoia has one of those, because again, the team moves slowly in the beginning. As much as I try to bake in some early offense, the team itself, more often than not, is that first round is not exciting. So having a neutral extract is helpful in that regard, because you're not going too far down in your extracts, because you can then follow up in the again. And Paranoia is to the extreme of that, because of the fact that it can go so quickly. When you start round one with parity and then round two, you are killing things, then you are both denying them that extra bonus point and you are getting that bonus point and extra VPs off of the extracts so that you get to win quicker. And even though most attrition teams like to not win quicker, they like the game to be slower, I think Avengers likes the game to be somewhere, again, in the middle place. They want to be able to have the opportunity to start slow, but then ramp up and win before their models die.
Yeah, I agree. And then lastly, we have Hammers. Not super surprised to see Hammers here. Sam, Deadpool, Iron Man, Gwenpool, they all make great use out of Hammers.
Good old-fashioned, good, clean, Jewish MCPs, Hammers. That's what I say.
Yeah, five dice shield throws is the stuff of nightmares for a lot of people.
Five dice shield throws, six dice X-23s. I'll take it all. I'll take it all day.
Yep, it's fun. But yeah, it's, again, I like playing Hammers, not because the attack dice is like fine, but I like it the most because it just feels fair. And lately, I've just been trying to put myself in situations where my opponent can't out-jank me in round one.
Yeah, and the jank on Hammers used to be pretty degenerate not too long ago. And a lot of that jank is has gone away. It's not as popularized anymore. So there are less scenarios where you're ending up going you're losing 3-1 on a Hammer play than there were before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with mostly Black Cat.
Yeah, Black Cat. Yeah, exactly.
Or Voodoo or whatever. Get the early Possess or the early Steal. Sweet. Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you think deserves to be talked about?
So I think something that is important with this leadership, and I've said this before, but I really do want to stress, this leadership is new. This is a fresh leadership. And a lot of times, and I think that a lot of people look at this leadership and they think to themselves, this leadership can't really hang with scenario and it can't really hang with the CGRs. And I think as people currently are building them, it's probably true. It feels very jack of all trades. And you're never going to make this team be like the best attrition team or the best scenario team. But I do think that this team deserves more exploration. And I had said offline that I don't have Bill in this current iteration, because if you just play Bill all the time, then you never really learn what else can work with the team, because you're like, 8 of my threat are taken up. I already have Cap and I already have Bill, so that's already set. And then you don't really have any room to fit other characters in. So I really do stress, regardless of what you hear in this particular cast, go out there and just try all kinds of characters. Try the Black Widow, try Viper even, I don't know, maybe, who knows, but just try things out, because I think that this affiliation, I think the best way this affiliation could be played is just toss in a couple of tech pieces for what is popular, like I have done here, and then build out the rest of your squad to how you want to season the taste, and then work with it. And I think we won't really see how great this leadership is probably for another like 6 months.
Yeah. I will say one character that people should mess around with is one of the Doc Ocks.
Yes.
Doc Ock is one of the rare characters that can actually gain power from this leadership. Because if you have a hit, convert to pay one to get a wild, that's a double success. You would pay a power to gain one, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's a net positive. It's the same reason why people like Wolverine, because, well, he also has a Pierce, so it's like a net two for him.
Unfortunately, with Wolverine, it only works on one attack. Doc Ock, it would be both of his attacks.
But you only have one attack that you can use the leadership.
Yeah, that's fair. There is worlds where Wolverine just blanks out the charge attack, and then his next attack he could spend, but now he doesn't count double wilds.
Yeah, that's one thing I did like about him. Wolverine, I ended up liking him in Defenders more than anywhere else, and even there I cut him from my list. But regardless, I think Doc Ock, I think I like the 3-threat version better than the 4-threat version, just because I find it just difficult. When you have a 4-threat leader, you need to get as efficient as possible with your splashes.
Yeah, I know Doc Ock, people have been talking about him with Steve in Timelines, and I could see that carrying over to standard format.
Yeah, I could definitely see. I think that's the nice thing about Timelines, is it might open up a little bit of exploration for people seeing things that they weren't seeing before, and how it might affect the standard format.
Yeah, this isn't a Timelines episode, but one of the goals of Timelines is exactly what you said, where, yeah, if you just play Bill every game, he'll be great, but you won't learn anything. And obviously Bill's banned in Timelines.
force you to try new stuff, for better or worse.
Yeah, gives you opportunity.
Cool. Is there anything else that you think we missed?
Probably. Yeah, probably.
TBD, this leadership is very vast, has a lot of affiliated models and a lot of splash models that can use it. And geez, people were figuring out Steve One Tech 2 and 3 years later.
Yeah, there was definitely, how long did it take before people were like breaking? Like, I was playing Steve One, that I was playing Discount Steve, and I was just like, oh, I love Discount Steve because he's one of my favorite characters, and that's great. And then he became like the devil, and I had to stop playing him because I'm getting in on Mighty Steve now before he becomes the devil and people, and I have to move to something else.
Yep, that remains to be seen. So to wrap us up, I'm going to ask you, or what Marvel character that isn't in the game are you most excited for?
So it hasn't changed. You asked me this last year. It hasn't changed. It's the same character.
Well, good things. I don't remember.
You don't remember. I'm pretty sure you'll agree on this one. There's only one character that is truly missing from Marvel Crisis Protocol. And the fact that this character isn't here is an absolute tabletop war crime. That is Doom.
Of course, yeah. Why would I expect anything less?
And all other answers, you have 24 days of Christmas. All the other answers are wrong. The only correct answer is Doom.
I do love a lot of characters, but yeah, Doom is, he sits alone at number one.
He needs to show up. He needs to be broken. We need to go through about 6 to 8 months where we're complaining about how Doom is broken, because that's the only way to properly design Doom. So you can only make him that way. And then that is what I'm hoping for. That's what I want.
I would love to see Doom be secretly broken after a ton of reps with him. That way he's not accessible, which is the perfect state to be in.
That'll be the new Thanos.
But yeah, Thanos did take a minute to develop, but Thanos is a lot lamer than Doom. So,
like, in general, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know why people like Thanos so much. That's a different conversation.
Sure. We can go on about that.
All right, and then Sploosh wants to know if you're heroes or villains.
Come on, man. It's heroes.
I know the answer, but I got to ask.
It's heroes. It's heroes all the way.
I'm honestly surprised you answered Doom.
I know. I have a special place in my heart for that character, because I could go on for a significant period about why that character is one of the most perfect comic book characters that has ever been made, and the travesty of how I don't understand that movies that have tried to showcase him have been incapable of understanding what has made him so perfect.
It just tells you how much the producers or the writers don't understand the source material.
Exactly. So he's a character that is called Dr. Doom. He's one of the goofiest names you can ever make for a villain. He's most on the nose, and yet he is one of the greatest villains of all time. Very subtle, he's perfect, and therefore I have to go with Doom. But as you probably noticed from my, I don't even like putting villains into my rosters that are hero rosters. I put Toad in there because he's great, but I could easily just make it Black Widow and be perfectly happy with this list, and then I sit there. I don't even like putting men into my A-Force roster.
Or in my X-Men rosters, which is secretly X-Women.
Yeah, I don't put non-mutants in my X-Men rosters. Like, you got to play the game the way it needs to be played. But I'm all heroes. I had my stint in Shadow and Daredevil because they didn't have an actual Daredevil release. Now they finally released one September 15th. They released a Daredevil that's been great. And now I play Defenders with only heroes.
Yeah, I'm excited for a Defenders episode. That should be a good one.
I can't wait to listen to it and steal things.
Yeah. I'm excited. All right, Matthew, thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure. And listeners, we will wrap it up there and see you next time.